from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny. In this hour of Forum, Governor Brown is hoping to make a major shift in state government. He wants to realign the relationship Sacramento has with counties and cities, giving back to local government the control it had before voters passed Prop 13. We'll examine the pros and cons. Then in the second half of the hour, Republicans are vowing to repeal President Obama's health care overhaul law before it's fully enacted. We'll hear how California is already implementing key parts of it and how the so-called Affordable Care Act might affect all of us. We'll get started with Forum right after this. Good morning and welcome to this hour of Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Michael Krasny. Well, Governor Jerry Brown is wasting no time taking on the big issues. In his first week in office, he's already talking about undoing changes brought by Proposition 13. Now, you may recall when voters passed it in 1978, property taxes were slashed and control of many government programs went from cities and counties up to Sacramento. Many feel that's a big part of the state's budget problems, and now Brown wants to decentralize power, giving local officials more control and presumably the money to run the programs. The plan will no doubt be controversial, and joining us now to talk about it in this first half hour are Paul McIntosh, Executive Director of the California State Association of Counties. Mr. McIntosh, good to have you with us. And also with us in the studio up in Sacramento, Gene Ross, Executive Director of the California Budget Project. Welcome to you as well.
Good morning, Scott.
Let me begin with you, Gene Ross. Just give us a very quick history lesson. Everyone focuses on Prop 13 and what it did to property taxes, but it also had a big impact on local government. It's less well known. Just summarize how those changes came about.
When Proposition 13 shrunk the property tax revenue pie in California by more than half, literally overnight, the state had to come in and really referee how do you allocate among different levels of government the program responsibility, which didn't change with Proposition 13. The largest change was the state took on much more responsibility for financing education, our public schools in California, leaving more of the remaining property tax dollars for cities and counties. There were also different shifts of responsibility over time, really mostly between the state and county government. Cities are somewhat isolated, at least on the program side of the budget. And then in 1991, when California had what many of us thought would be the budget crisis to end all budget crises, another set of transitions took place. The state raised two dedicated taxes, part of the vehicle license fee, part of the sales tax rate, gave that money to counties, along with more responsibility for a set of health, mental health, and social service programs. And I think that's really the kind of transaction that we're looking at here, what among insiders is called realignment, where you give local governments dedicated revenue sources and also program responsibility within a statewide framework.
Now, I believe many people felt that what you described happened in 1991 was also realignment. Did it work or is it now regarded as a failure?
I think it's largely regarded as a success. I think many of the policy experts, program experts that have worked on these issues for decades will say it is, you know, one of the things they feel best about in their professional careers. There was a sincere attempt, at least at the beginning, to match the money to the cost of programs. I think there are some lessons we can learn from what was done in 1991. But I think largely it's been one of the real successes in California over the past several decades. Counties have the ability to innovate, to tailor program delivery, maybe not 100%, but certainly more to meet the needs of local communities. They can look for ways to invest in prevention, to hopefully generate some back-end savings. Over time, the money didn't quite keep pace with the program cost growth, and I think that's created some problems, as I think Paul may talk about, for counties. And part of that was some of the programs which were given additional responsibility to counties were fast-growing programs, programs that I think if we looked at what was going on in population growth in the economy, we probably knew would grow more rapidly than the revenues. But again, I think there's a good lesson there, and it's one we can learn.
Yeah, and let's bring Paul McIntosh in now from the California State Association of Counties. Mr. McIntosh, you were in that meeting with the governor, I believe it was on Tuesday. What was that meeting like, and how did he frame the issue?
Well, it was a very refreshing meeting. I think it was significant that the governor chose to come to California counties as one of the first meetings after his first full day in office.
And he literally came
to talk about
this
proposal. He literally did. He came into our offices, and we were here for at least an hour and a half meeting with him and his senior staff. Talking in general about these issues, we didn't get into specifics. We'll have to wait, as everyone else will, for Monday's release of the budget to find out more detail about what he's talking about. But we talked mostly at policy level and principles, and I'm very pleased to say that our principles are very much aligned. The governor spoke about adequate revenues to sustain these programs and to work on, from a policy standpoint, to shift what makes sense to the local level to give people more say into these programs.
And what would be accomplished if it worked well, do you think?
Well, our focus is on encouragement is to focus on outcomes as opposed to process. And if you do that, if you tell counties the outcome you want to achieve and enable counties to apply their creativity and innovation to achieve those outcomes, I think we can do it more efficiently and more effectively than the state can do it. At the same time, having to recognize the diversity of our counties and that what works in Del Norte may not work in Imperial or San Diego, and so we have to have the flexibility at the local level to craft program solutions that are that work within the communities.
Which counties are likely to be winners and which ones are likely to be losers, if there is such a thing? And it may be far too soon to say, but are urban, densely populated counties with lots of low-income folks likely to be happy with this sort of realignment, or suburban counties? Give me a sense of the lay of the land there.
Well, hopefully all counties will be winners. That's our goal. It's difficult to say without getting the specific programs and what the caseload population is like for those programs. But, I'd go back, first of all, and echo what Gene said about the 1991 realignment. I was a county administrator in California at the time and was heavily involved in the discussions, negotiations, and working out problems that arised out of the 91 realignment. And I just realized yesterday that was like 20 years ago. So. But I would say that was a very successful approach at the time. Naturally, we did learn some lessons from that. There were some counties that did not feel that they were treated as fairly as other counties or didn't come out as far ahead as other counties. But that's all a balancing act, and that's what we would have to do, I think, with any realigned program. We have to work through those details.
Gene Ross, the state is facing a budget deficit of up to $28 billion over the next 18 months. Is this plan to realign state government, is it seen as a way to save money? Is it part of the solution to the budget deficit?
I think it shouldn't be looked as a way to save money, because the responsibility for programs and services meeting the needs of vulnerable populations, ensuring public safety, is still there. I think it's something that should be looked at as a way to better meet the needs of Californians, and I think that potential is there. I do think in local government we have some tremendously dedicated public officials, public workers who really want want to meet the needs of their local communities. If it's done right in some programs, I think we can look to the possibility of generating savings over time. If we intervene in fragile families, in youth, we can hopefully keep them out of the juvenile justice system, out of the adult correctional system. But those savings will be further down the line over a period of years. And I think that is, if we look at lessons that come out of 1991, that come out of the decades of experience we've had here in California, is don't look at devolution or realignment, whatever we want to call it, as a cost-saving strategy. Look at it as a way to better meet the needs of Californians, do it right, but don't try to do it on the cheap.
So there are right ways and wrong ways to do something like this. So what would be the best way and the worst way to go about it?
I think, and it gets back to what Paul said, I think it's looking at what counties can do, where there is some synergy, where you can use the fact that the services are delivered in many cases by county government. Again, let's take juvenile justice, child protective services, foster care, where in many cases we're talking about the same young people in California. And if we get in early from preschool through childhood into adolescence, that if we look at how we can keep those families together, support families, keep kids in school, keep them doing what we all want them to do. We can hopefully keep them out of the juvenile justice system, which is incredibly expensive, out of the adult correctional system later on in life, and give these young people opportunities to get a job and get out and support their own families. I think that's something that certainly has been rumored in the press as one area that's under consideration. I think that's an example where counties deliver the social service programs. They're responsible for the juvenile justice system in large part in California, where there are some possibilities to do right by families and do right by the budget in the long term.
That's Jean Ross from the California Budget Project. We're talking with her and Paul McIntosh from the California State Association of Counties about Governor Brown's discussion of restructuring government, giving more control of local programs back to cities and counties. And Paul McIntosh, in the meeting with the governor on Tuesday, what were some of the main objections raised? I would imagine the number one question is, are we going to have enough money once we have responsibility and control over these programs?
Yeah, the biggest concern of California's counties is adequacy of revenue. I think the second concern is the flexibility. Third concern is what happens to those programs down the road. One of the lessons learned from the 1991 realignment is that things can change over time. And the in-home support services program, probably the best example. In-home support services today doesn't look anything like the program that was realigned in 1991. And it's become a kind of a black hole to many counties' budgets because of additional entitlements that have been added to that program by both the state and federal government, and then changes in the program structure that have been implemented by the state over since the program was realigned. So, you know, those are lessons well learned from the 1991 realignment that we would want to employ in the negotiations and discussions on any realignment for 2011.
Now, Gene Ross, this question and others may be put before voters later in the year. The governor is talking about a special election of some kind to discuss, to put a question, many questions before voters. He says he doesn't want to raise property taxes, which, of course, would require a change in Prop 13, which would be difficult, I think, to get enacted by the voters. But what do you think, how much can be accomplished without tinkering in a fundamental way with Proposition 13?
There are a number of options for raising revenues for California, and I do think we have to have a balanced approach to the state's budget shortfall. We need some additional monies if we are going to continue the level of programs and services that I think Californians fundamentally want. You can look at our income tax, broadening our sales tax to cover perhaps electronic sales, perhaps some services, continuing Some are all of the temporary tax increases that were approved by the legislature in 2009. I think at least in the short term, again, because we are in such a deep hole right now and we need to address our budget problems quickly, that it is appropriate to take a more modest approach and something that wouldn't generate a lot of opposition.
Do you see this, though, as perhaps the opening salvo in what might be a longer discussion about Prop 13?
I think it's an opening, and I think it's time. We have been living with this whole set of program changes over a number of decades. We've learned a lot of lessons. We've learned what works and what doesn't work. We've been through some very tough economic times, and I'm actually optimistic that we can begin to have an honest debate about what we want from government in California.
Paul McIntosh, you represent an organization that covers 58 counties in California, and they have a very wide spectrum of politics. There are a number of more inland counties in particular that tend to be anti-tax. Do you have any sense that there is a right-left, a liberal-conservative split on these kinds of questions?
Well, California is a very diverse state, and that's very adequately represented by its counties. When the governor talks about changing Proposition 13, I don't think that he is talking about the tax protection structure of Proposition 13. He is talking about the unintended consequence of concentrating power and authority in Sacramento. And he wants to diffuse that. That's what he, when he references Prop 13, that's what he's referencing. It's not changing any of the tax structure under Prop 13 or the tax protections under Prop 13. He wants to diffuse authority back to the local level to give citizens more say in how their government is run.
But part of that say would be perhaps from time to time going to those voters in a county and saying, we'd like to raise the sales tax, or we'd like to, you know, raise some other kind of a fee. And is there a sense that perhaps some of those counties in those more conservative parts of California would have less success than, say, a county like San Francisco or San Mateo, Santa Clara?
I think the governor understands and appreciates the diversity of the state, and that if the voters in a small rural county do not want to raise a program to a level that an urban or suburban county may, that they should have the ability to do that. That should be a decision that the local community makes and not something that the state legislature makes.
What do you think about that, Gene Ross, that notion of giving that control over revenue, more control back to the counties? And, you know, some places are going to be more reluctant than others to generate more revenue through higher taxes.
I think that can be a very good thing. It does allow local communities to have the level of services that they largely want. I think if we go back to our initial discussion on moving program responsibility to the local level, one of the lessons we've learned from 1991, and I think one reason why it largely worked and largely is a success, is there were some guarantees. There was a framework for what types of services families would continue to receive. It gave counties the ability to innovate, to do things a little bit more flexibly, but also ensured that there would be a baseline of services that would be available to all families, to all seniors, to all children in California.
But would there, if you decentralize that authority, do you increase the, I don't know if risk is the right word, but the chances that, you know, some counties are going to have a different standard for, say, foster care or juvenile justice or health care, and that, you know, you could end up with more of a gap in the level of or the quality of care or the kind of service that people live, depending on where they live? Or does that already exist?
That already exists. That very clearly exists. I think what's important is to maintain a baseline to ensure that regardless of where you live, we are one state. We do have 58 very diverse counties, but it's critical to craft a structure that does protect families, children, vulnerable seniors around California, that allows some communities, if they wish, to perhaps to go above that baseline, but does ensure some minimum protections throughout the state. And I think that's a good thing. That's what we've done historically, and I think there's the opportunity to do that this year.
Paul McIntosh, if these programs and the control over them is sent back to the local governments, does that mean we're going to shift a layer of bureaucracy from Sacramento to the local government as well?
Well, we would certainly hope not. We would hope that, first of all, that there would be a reduction of bureaucracy in Sacramento, and I think part and parcel with achieving the flexibility and focusing on outcomes is that the state is no longer dictating process and having a phalanx of bureaucrats looking over the shoulders of counties. I agree with Gene, there needs to be some minimum levels and minimum standards, but then it should be up to the individual counties to go beyond that. And I think that the supervisors, the leaders of our counties are much more in tune with what's necessary in their communities than is the legislature.
Earlier in the half hour, Gene Ross said that this should not be seen as a way to save money. Was it your sense, Paul McIntosh, in that meeting with the governor, that he sees it as a possible savings, as well as some of these other benefits that we've already talked about?
No, during our discussion, we did not talk dollars and cents. We talked policy, and we talked what made sense from a structure standpoint. And I very much got the sense that the governor is looking at this from a public policy perspective, not just a budget savings perspective. And he's looking at this over a long term, not just a flash in the pan. We talked about incremental process of implementing restructuring, so that I got the very real sense that this is something he's looking at over his entire term.
And in that meeting, I assume you've been also in meetings with Governor Schwarzenegger. Is that a fair assumption?
Sure.
Yeah. How would you describe the differences between these two gentlemen as governor and the kind of involvement they had?
Well, obviously, it's a very different style. Governor Schwarzenegger had his approach and had his style, and he very much wanted and worked to communicate with counties and take our interests into account. I think Governor Brown is the same in that regard, and I think he is a little bit more familiar with the programs, and having served as mayor of Oakland, is a little bit more attuned to some of the specifics of issues at the local level than Governor Schwarzenegger was, but that's just a different matter of style.
Gene Ross, of course, a lot of this realignment that occurred back after Prop 8 13 passed, Jerry Brown was governor back then, and the state had a huge surplus at that time, and that enabled them to kind of backfill some of these programs at the local level, a very different situation now. What's your sense of what the governor has learned, as a local official, mayor of Oakland, what happened when he was governor the first time, and now what he's facing as governor again, that's going to help him maybe avoid some of the mistakes that were made in 1991 or even back in 1978, 79?
I think he's certainly learned it's probably easier to do when you have a lot of money than when you don't, and I think that certainly will be a challenge this year. I think it is that longer-term perspective. I think it's what Paul talked about. We have a governor who was a mayor of a medium-sized county, but a very complex county. I think that's a good thing in terms of knowing how the different levels of government fit together. I think the unintended consequences and what happens when you lock a system into place, talking again about the property tax, where the structure that was enacted immediately after Prop 13 locked in the shares of tax revenues as they were prior to Prop 13. But we've seen a lot of different growth trajectories over the past several decades. Some counties that have been fairly stable in population, San Francisco, others that have grown rapidly.
Yep. And of course, we'll know a lot more about what the governor is thinking next week. He's going to release that budget on Monday, and we'll have a lot of the details at that point. Gene Ross from the California Budget Project, thanks to you. And thanks also to Paul McIntosh from the California State Association of Counties for joining us in this first half hour. Lots more to talk about coming up after a short break. We're going to be discussing healthcare reform. Stay with us.